Our shorter catechism lesson this week is question and answer number 32. What benefits do they that are effectually called partake of in this life? They that are effectually called do in this life partake of justification, adoption, and sanctification, and the several benefits which in this life do either accompany or flow from them. Now, you remember last week in question and answer 31, effectual calling is fundamentally at its core that process by which the Holy Spirit brings us into union with Jesus Christ. And so when it asks, what benefits do they that are effectually called partake of in this life? It's another way of asking, what are the benefits that we get in this life from our union with Christ? And when I ask it that way, this part of our answer and the several benefits, you start to realize those several benefits are great indeed. And we'll have a question on what those several benefits are that accompany and flow from our union with Christ, our effectual calling. But in the three that are listed here, we see legal benefit, we see relational benefit, and we see moral benefit. So they that are effectually called do in this life partake of justification, legal benefit, having a right standing before God, the hope that that gives us, the ability to plead his justice to do us good, the knowledge that his law, since we are united to Christ, actually demands that God give us according to what Christ deserves. And this is a great benefit, to be justified before God. Well, that's a legal benefit. The second one, adoption, is a relational benefit, that we would know our union with Jesus in those three things, of course, that the middle of Romans 8 teaches us, that we will inherit together with him if we suffer together with him and then are glorified together with him. And so part of the benefits that we have from union with Christ is suffering. Not suffering in and of itself, but a particular kind of suffering. That all of our sufferings are part of that which we suffer jointly with Jesus, and therefore he with us. Not, of course, according to his divine nature, and even in his exaltation, he is no longer subject to pains himself, and so he does not suffer in that way. But he sympathizes with us. He cares for us. His heart goes out to us, and we never, ever again suffer alone. But we are also conformed to his sufferings because our suffering is in union with him, and that our sufferings are accomplishing things. Now, they're not accomplishing the propitiation of God's wrath or the atonement for our sin, but they do accomplish things like progress in our own sanctification, which we'll get to in the third benefit. They do glorify God as we suffer well by the character of Christ worked out in us. And so there's a relation to the Son in our adoption, and there's a relation to the Father in our adoption. This is the relation that is especially highlighted in our adoption, that we would know that he cares for us not only as creator, which is a great care for us as creator. You see how much he cares for flowers. You see how much he cares for birds. One of the reasons why we are so careful and intentional when we are outside with the plants and with the animals and want to do well with everything is because we're imitating God's creator care for his creation. but he cares for us as his own dear children. That he chose us in the beloved, and now he has redeemed us in the beloved, and now he has united us to Christ, so that that love which was already upon us in Jesus from before the world began now finds us united to Jesus and takes the pleasure in us that he has in his only begotten Son. And he gives us then the liberty, indeed the duty, to love him as children unto a dear father, beloved children unto a dear father. And so when we say Abba, it is not teaching us to speak informally with God or irreverently with God, but to enjoy that benefit of our union with Christ, that is our near relation to him, his dearness to us, our dearness to him through union with Jesus. And the last part of the relational benefit that we have in our adoption, of course, is the ministry of the Spirit, because we are not good at being children. We're not even good at knowing that we are his children. And so both in Romans 8 and Galatians 4, he teaches us that the Spirit makes us to call God our Abba. The Spirit teaches and impresses upon us the new relation that we have to God through union with Christ. And in Galatians 4, it's phrased very preciously, because you are children, he has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, by whom you cry, Abba, Father. And so this is one of the great relational benefits of our adoption, that God, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit who upheld Christ in his humanity during his humiliation, that he is the same Spirit now who dwells in us and who convinces us that we are God's children and ministers to us this relation that we have also with the Son and this relation that we have also with the Father. So we have great legal benefits in our justification. We have great relational benefits in our adoption, and we have great moral benefit in our sanctification. Both that positional, once for all sanctification, where you get a new nature. So great is the new nature that you have already been given in your union with Christ. You're made alive in order to believe in him, but your union with him now gives you the right and the benefits of having that new life in him and from him applied to you and worked out to you. But so great is the new nature that you have in your union with Christ that when you are perfected in holiness at the end of your life, when the souls of believers at their death are made perfect in holiness, you will not get a new nature then. You will simply have the character of the new nature that you already have. If you are a Christian, you will simply have the character of your new nature perfectly and completely worked out at the time of your death. So you already have, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you already have the nature that you are going to have in heaven, in glory, forever. And this gives us great hope in the lifelong, and it will be lifelong, battle against sin. So praise God that we have such good hope, such certainty about our current nature, since we do have this battle that is both lifelong and very difficult. And not only do we have this new nature then, but we have increasing expression of that new nature in our character and in our conduct, in the way that we think and feel and desire and choose being the same thing, so in our thoughts, affections, and will, and in our actions, which are produced by our thoughts, affections, and will. And that increasing holiness in our character and our conduct is what we call usually sanctification. Usually we use the word to talk about the progressive, that work of God's grace that we'll be hearing about. Well, we'll hear more about justification, adoption, and sanctification later. But just here for question and answer 32, we hear about our legal benefit, our relational benefit, and our moral benefit. And then we're reminded, of course, that these being different ways that our union with Christ has brought us into a new blessed life, there are, of course, the several, the innumerable, although some will be listed in our catechism answers, the innumerable and great benefits which already in this life accompany and flow from our justification, adoption, and sanctification. So union with Christ is, of course, the indescribable gift. Christ himself and our union with him is the indescribable gift, also, of course, by the giving of God the Holy Spirit, who is the one who unites us to the Lord Jesus through faith.